Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Last Word FM podcast, powered by Transmission Roundhouse. Poetry has a funny way of finding its way to you. I think a lot of people lose interest in poetry at school, a side effect of a singular type of poetry, maybe, and also dissecting it to death, to be able to rediscover the art in a new and exciting way with wildly talented people is such a blessing. In this episode, Kiari Page speaks with poets Daze Hingorani and Wara Karim from the Roundhouse Poetry Collective. Here's Kiari in conversation with Daze and Wara.
Hey guys, and welcome back. I am Kiari, everyone calls me Ki, and I am a radio presenter, I am an interviewer, I am a podcast creator for Spirit Bound, and hopefully a new podcast coming soon. But today, I am with the Poetry Collective, and I'm super excited because we're going to get real deep, and we're actually going to be very real. That's priority number one. So I have here with me is Daze and Wara. Daze is a career choreographer, she's a poet, and she's super amazing. Not she, they, them, I corrected myself. And born and raised in London, Roundhouse artist resident, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you also are with Sailors Wells and have performed with Dawson Superstore to Riverside Studios. That's the line. Like, you went from Dawson to Riverside, or did you do it in between?
I mean, not in the same night, but, like, that's kind of, like, the vibes that we're working with. We're doing, like, queer clubs, and we're also doing, like, a real, like, traditional stage.
Okay, snaps. Like, but also, with their work, I'm going to keep correcting myself, is about nostalgia, grief, loss, and we're going to get into that. And we have Wara, who is an Irish poet, explores mundane life within the surreal reality of marginalization. They believe in healing themselves and also for others, and works in immersive and seeks to resonate with neurodivergent experiences through the use of language. And lastly, I know it's a lot, but stay with me, is honoring their history and connects it to future queer Africans. So really great stuff here today, and I really want to kick off with this conversation with something a little lighthearted before we get into the real deeps. So I would like to ask both of you guys, what do you guys think about doing a one-line poem?
Oh, okay.
Let's do that.
Okay, so I will give you guys a word, and then you guys can come up with whatever floats your boat. So the word is finale.
I feel like we've got to do like a good representation of the collective here.
Because I'm just thinking about Eminem type lines. Finale. Oh my, finale, you know? No, let me think.
One line. It's the grand finale. Everyone, please take a bow.
Every day is my finale. When will we begin?
Ooh.
Incredible.
Now, I actually want to know, when will we begin? Alrighty. So, can you guys tell us a little bit about more about your work and what do you expect people to resonate with the most when they listen to you guys perform?
I think, as you said, like, I do a lot of stuff about, like, queerness and, like, your experiences of self and grief. And I think that's, like, that's a massive thing in sort of, like, when you live queerly, you're always experiencing deaths and rebirths of yourself, which I think is a really lovely thing. And obviously, like, grief is a hard thing. We lose stuff and you don't want to. Like, you cared about it for a reason. But also, I want, hopefully, people to resonate with the joy of grief. Mm-hmm. I think that that's such a wonderful thing that you get to experience, caring about something so much that you feel upset when you lose it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What was the question again? I was just lost in what you were saying. That was really good stuff.
No worries. It was just simply me asking, but what do you want people to resonate the most when it comes to listening to your work or reading it?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's like a sense of unsettlement. Because I feel like surrealism is all about understanding that, like, okay, the world that we live in doesn't necessarily make sense, but we still live in it, irrespective of that. So it's like a feeling of matching the feeling of inside to the outside, where it's like, yeah, everything that I navigate as, like, a queer African person can be really, really, like just cogs moving in a really weird way. But when I write poetry in a surreal way, it helps me match, like, feeling to reality. And I hope that it does that for other people. So, like, you know, folks don't feel dissociated from the state of things.
Mm-hmm. That was gorgeous.
Being queer is quite tough, like, in society today. Mm-hmm. Like, we still face a lot of pushback from society when it comes to it. So thank you so much for being brave, to just being out and open, like, I identify as this, and also being brave enough to correct people about it. How do you guys tap into that? Because you guys are already being vulnerable on stage, but then it's like it's extra vulnerable for you guys to perform that and to really speak into that. How do you actually decompress from it when it's all said and done? Or do you just keep going and going and going?
I think that a big part of being able to decompress is what makes it easier to be vulnerable, is, like, if you build community around you, and if you get to choose the spaces that you're in and the people that you bring into them and what, like, who you're sharing with them, I think that makes it a revitalizing experience rather than just, like, you're, like, giving and giving and giving. Like, I don't know if you feel that, but, like,
I definitely agree, yeah. I definitely agree, where it's, like, even, it really depends on the crowd and the audience, and I'm really grateful for Roundhouse for, like, curating a really, just a really genuine audience and community around, like, the institution. So when I perform, I don't feel like I'm performing into a vacuum. It feels like people are actually taking in what I'm saying, and, like, they're being able to, like, take that knowledge and take it into their daily lives, or take that piece of, like, my own experience or, like, anyone else's experience. But I also wanted to mention that, like, when it comes to, like, layers upon layers, whenever you perform as a queer artist, I feel like it's a similar thing of, like, as an African person, I don't feel the need to, like, necessarily be, like, in my poems, like, today I'm African, today I'm queer, today I'm going to the shop, and you know what I mean? It's like, I think it just shows in the ways that, like, the poem is written, or it shows in the way that, like, I perform it. Like, I think I'm a really big lover of show not tell, but in a way where it's like, I don't have to do too much, you just know, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But do you guys feel the need to, like, have to be open, because you guys are performers, essentially? Do you guys feel the pressure of, like, now with society, of coming up being like, I am this, so they can, like, brand you? Or do you feel empowered to be like, you know what, I am me, like, and you can back off?
I feel like that's an inherent part of being an artist, like, just having to be vulnerable, irrespective, like, I feel like if I was to be, like, if I was to put a wall or a slight barrier between myself and, like, people that are listening to me, like, no one would receive it in the way that I want people to. So I just have to do that extra work or, like, do the extra step of, like, yeah, I'm just going to be my bare, raw self, you know?
Yeah. And I love being vulnerable. Like, yeah. I wouldn't be an artist if I didn't enjoy it. Like, I think if you've grown up taking solace in art and things and, like, and taking solace in other people being so sort of, like, genuine and upfront about themselves, it's so encouraging then to be able to grow up and start engaging with art in the way that, you know, you do as, like, a maker. And I'm like, no, this is great. This is so much fun. Mm-hmm. I love just sort of, like, spilling out, like, my diary to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for you, Dais. Mm-hmm. And it's about being a choreographer, but also being a poet. How did these two worlds merge into one?
Mm. That's a great question. I think for me, I realized a couple years ago that all of, like, the choreography that I made came from writing.
Okay.
Like, I didn't, which felt sort of, like, against, like, the idea of choreographing, but I never started in a studio by moving. I was like, I want to sit down, I want to read through my journal, I want to read other people's work. And that was how I worked with dancers, and I realized, I was like, oh, okay, then also I should probably look into, like, poetry as a format itself, like, as its own, like, in its own right. Mm. And I think there's a lot of crossover of, in my work, I want to make things as accessible as possible to people. I know that even I trained as a dancer, I've spent years making, and I still go and watch dance pieces and think, huh? What? So I think a lot of my work tries to look at, like, yes, it's an incredible art form in its own right, but how can you get people to engage with it? Like, mm-hmm. And for me, I was like, I engage with stuff way more if I get to read it, if I get to hear it. So I think things like that is where, like, I really enjoy blurring the boundaries of the two things, because at the end of the day, I'm trying to tell you something, like, whatever that might be. If I'm making something, I'm trying to tell you something, and I want you to hear it in whatever way makes most sense to you.
Mm. In Rura, I went to really talk about intersectionality a little bit, because you are Irish, African, queer, and you are also sharing experiences with people through your poetry about neurodivergency, and I just want you to highlight, how do you face the world, or when you introduce yourself, how does that work for you, or do you just say, here's my name, and you don't go into the details, like, how do you present yourself?
Mm. I think in terms of, like, artistry, I just, like, show up, and, like, I think before, when I was, like, earlier in this journey, I used to do more work into, like, trying to convince people, or, like, trying to steer people in a way of, like, yeah, this is who I am, like, guys, like, don't think of me in this way, think of me in that way. But it's, like, I think ultimately people will perceive you how they want to perceive you. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't really do anything about folks' projections on you. You just have to, like, navigate in a way that's, like, true to you. So I think that, like, writing really does help me, like, remind myself of why I do what I do, why I navigate the way that I navigate, because I think ultimately it would be easier to, like, you know, navigate as, like, a cishet person with, like, you know, blase blaza, but I feel like, yeah.
I think also, like, that thing of, like, yeah, it might technically be easier to navigate in that way, but also then, like, what's the point?
Because I would just die inside.
Exactly.
Like, I would not, like, I would lack a soul, but.
But do you guys feel like you give away your soul sometimes too much when you are into your art?
I don't think so. I heard a really interesting podcast with the writer Otessa Moshfegh recently. And she was talking about, she was like, I'm a tortured person, not a tortured artist. And I thought that was a really useful distinction, that this idea that you don't actually have to suffer for your art. Mm-hmm. Like, you can suffer in yourself, like, who doesn't? But and you can translate that into your art, but the art itself doesn't require that. It doesn't require you to lie bleeding on the bathroom floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like in Western society, a lot of the time we may see art as like separate from like living. Mm-hmm. But I feel like one thing that really does help me like strip away the fears of like, okay, I need to be this kind of artist is just understanding that like I'm living and that's enough of an artistry. Mm. And it's like, I don't really have to like try too hard because I'm just here really. I'm just chilling. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just hanging out.
You know what I mean? Bros.
Yeah, but when it comes to grief in days like this is more of your remit is that you talk about grief as a celebration. Mm. Can you expand on that idea? Because a lot of times we think of grief as like lost, terrible, you know, it's tough to get out of it. So how do you translate that celebration aspect of it?
Mm. I think to me and to a lot of people, grief more than anything is a really visceral experience. Mm. And I think that's why I want to dance about it and write about it and talk about it all the time, because yes, of course, like at all extremes of emotion, that's overwhelm. Like I think when you get to a point of you might be sobbing on the floor crying about loss or whatever it might be, but also like at a certain point that feels the same as when you lose your breath from laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's for me where I try and like reconcile the difficulty of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm more interested in looking at it, I think, from an artistic perspective.
And then with Rura, how can we heal from your pieces of art?
Mm-hmm. I think just like the first thing that comes to my mind is just try and pay attention, like just try and like match experience to words.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to learn in everything, and I feel like it's not that my poetry or my art is specifically like to like soothe the masses, but it's to offer a perspective that I feel like may not always be uplifted or seen as like very important. So I think, yeah. Also, I feel like I really resonate with what you were saying about like grief being a really visceral part of our lives. Like, I feel like obviously to live, you have to die, and to die, you have to live. So I feel like constantly understanding that like death always surrounds us, but not letting it consume you is something that I find to be really beautiful about your work as well.
Yeah. I was also just thinking as you were speaking that like having read a lot of your poetry, you do that. Like 100%. Like you are achieving your aims.
Oh.
Oh. Wow.
So when it comes to about like getting out of that grief and like healing yourself, like have you guys had like an experience with like maybe one piece of art, one poem that you guys have written that it turned into you really like felt like you were dying inside because you were pouring so much into that piece of poem?
Mm.
Or do you just keep that boundary of like, you know, this is art, I don't have to go there? Because sometimes with performers, I can even use myself as an example, that you get so into it and you come with these emotions. It may not be from experience, but it certainly is from like the moment that you're performing and you're getting into that headspace of the person that you're portraying. Mm-hmm. And then like you may break down and cry. Have you experienced those types of moments where it just kind of took over and you just wasn't trying to let it take over?
Mm. I think sometimes like at home, yeah, like I think sometimes the process of writing or like prepping for performance, like reading stuff, it can feel much more emotional. Like I have a poem that I wrote about my friend that recently passed away last year, and like whenever I read that at home, I'm like, oh fuck, sorry for swearing, like, oh, that really hits, and like that feels like so like close to me. But there is a level of like getting up on stage where and sort of like sharing it with other people that it stops being about me. And it starts being about my experiences. It's about, like, okay, what am I sharing with you? Like, it's a communal experience rather than just, like, me getting involved in, like, my own head, I think.
Yeah, it's not like you're on stage, like, oh, my God, what was me? It's just, like, you're understanding that these experiences are universal, and that's what makes them beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, the understanding that, like, yeah, this can come from a really personal place. This can come from like a really like deep, twisted place. But at the end of the day, we're all experiencing similar things. Mm-hmm. And like there's a lot of comfort in that, even though people, you know, act like grief is in our daily lives, it consistently follows mm-hmm. us. They may not act like pain or shame or any of these like difficult emotions to go through are not in our daily lives, but they are. Mm-hmm. And I feel like being able to like openly share them on a stage makes it more okay for like folks to just like explore it in a less, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's like, it's almost like in the nicest way possible, like you're not special.
Yeah,
like it's great to be someone that tries to sort of like articulate this stuff through art, but also mm-hmm. like in the end of the day, like, yeah, like just like you say, like everyone is experiencing it in some format or another. Mm. Mm-hmm. And me getting to stand on a stage and talk about it or make a dance about it doesn't mean that like I feel it any more than someone else does.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's not like you've been elected by like the Grand Council of Grief.
I mean,
like,
I was, but
oh,
maybe
you need to hook me up with them.
No, I agree completely.
Yeah.
So when it comes to like choreography, and I want to get to more of the uplifting side of things, mm-hmm. is like you guys both use music mm-hmm. to like influence your art in a way, and for me, just looking through, like, just scrolling, like, music is a very, like, universal language. Mm-hmm. How do you allow music to navigate that through your art and through what you do, maybe not even through art, but just in the community?
Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, from a making perspective, I get to work a lot with my brother because he's, like, a musician and, like, a producer and stuff. So getting to go to somebody and be like, I have like these 17 different thoughts and none of them make sense and I don't know really what I'm talking about. No, I don't have a time frame or money. Can you do something with that? Mm-hmm. And then to have someone turn around and like bring their own like artistic influences is mad. It's like my favorite thing in the world to get to watch him work and to like sort of like collaborate on that. But also just like, if I want to write a poem, I will just stick a sad song on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, real. Just stick some Mitski on. But I feel like collaborating is a more enjoyable part of it for me because mm. I do music and I do a bit of instrumentals like here and there, but I feel like with the kind of poetry that I do, I feel like I really do need to collaborate with a lot of people. Mm. And like, I don't know, I feel like understanding fully how sound comes into my art is still something that I'm trying to learn, but I'm really happy like about the fact that these mediums like music and poetry are so easily mergeable and like even not in the way that it has to be a song, mm-hmm. but in the way where it's just like two mediums coming together mm-hmm. for whatever purpose. But yeah, I really like to immerse people with sound mm-hmm. and like kind of like add an extra dimension of like sensory stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like to really ground people in what you're saying and create a universe around that.
I was going to say, you get to, like, you bring people into the world that you're creating in your head. Mm. And that's just an extra layer to be like, here you go, like,
yeah, very much so. In. It's like another wall in your house.
Exactly, yeah. Also, like, on, like, collaboration and stuff, I feel like writing can be such a, like, isolating process. Because, like at the end of the day, yeah, you do have to, like, sit alone in your room and go, like, okay, where am I taking out the ands and, like, mm-hmm. all that. But getting to work with other people, makes it so worth it.
Yeah, genuinely. I love writing joint poems. It's one of my favorite mm-hmm. things. Like, one person does a line, I do another line. You know what I mean? It's like we're creating another universe. But yeah, poetry does kind of feel like sometimes isolating because it's just you, your mind, your paper, your notes app, and mm-hmm. do what you will. Like, but I think performing is the part where it becomes a lot more democratic or like a lot more like community oriented and things like that, which is why I feel like I write to perform. I don't necessarily write to read. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So how has, like, the Roundhouse, in your experiences of being a part of the Roundhouse Project Collective and any other endeavors that you guys can share with the Roundhouse, has supported you in that journey of really just becoming a better version of you? Because it seems like, with your poetry, that you guys are just building a better version of yourself, and in turn, it influences other people, or you hope it resonates with like just aspects of life that doesn't get talked about much, or if it gets talked about, it gets talked about in a negative way.
The Roundhouse has been so important to me, like, as an artist and stuff. Like, I competed in the Poetry Slam last year, and I managed to come second. It was, I think it was my fourth time performing poetry, like, in public, and literally, like, from that moment, like, from being in the heat and the slam, I was just, like, the community of the Roundhouse is so, like, palpable. I was, like, I've not come across one person in this building or in this network that has been, like, even vaguely not cool to be around. So then, like, I joined the Poetry Collective off of the back of that. And again, just, like, getting to spend a year in a community with... How many of them are there?
Like, 14, I think.
Like, 14, yeah, like, 14 just incredible poets and artists. Yeah. I was, like, this is incredible. Like, sensational. Yeah, it's just been a year of, like, getting to have accountability and to, like, grow your, like, perspective on, like, what can poetry be, because everyone in that room is pushing the boundaries of, like, what am I talking about and how can I talk about it? And that's been, I think, the most important thing to me.
Yeah. I feel like for me it's just, like, I'm almost getting teary-eyed thinking about it, genuinely, because I'm like, guys, it's actually a collective, I won't lie. Like, it's really lovely how, like, throughout the journey, we've become so much more comfortable with, like, critiquing our own work and, like, being a lot more upfront with each other for, like, the sake of each other's growth. And, like, honestly, the amount that I've learned from being in this collective is something that I don't know if I would have learned if I was outside of it and I was going through the motions of learning poetry by myself. Because I think as a neurodivergent person, I also, like, centralized learning, so I like coming to class every week, and, you know, I like having my routine, I like doing the things. But I think with the collective, like, being able to see familiar faces, being able to, like, learn about form, because before I literally used to, like, hate form. I used to hate like writing in, like, a way on the page where it's like this means that and that means this. But, like, from listening to other people's work and, like, reading other people's work in my collective, it's like I've grown a deep appreciation for it, and I feel like it's bringing me from more of an in-between from, like, purely performance to, like, writing and also performance, you know. But yeah, I'm really grateful for the Roundhouse Collective and the people in it.
So I have a serious question. So you used to hate forum, but now are you like, yay forum, or is it just like We're in the mix.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like it's. I'm excited whenever I think about people's, like, form in their work now. Like, one of my poetry, like, colleagues, their name is, like, Sia, right? And I love the way that they put stuff on a page, and I feel like whenever I see people's work on the page now, it makes my, like, cogs turn. It makes me be like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? I'm jumping from one part of the page to the next, like, it's playing with my mind. But before, I used to be like,
That's so true. I feel like a part of, like, my defense mechanism of, like, I don't know if I'm good enough at poetry to, like, do this, I don't know if I know enough about it, was to be like, well, that's because I don't like it, so it's fine. I was so similar. I was like, no, I don't like form, because I, like, can't count syllables for a haiku to save my life.
Yeah, genuinely.
But no, but being around people that are, it sounds stupid, but that are good at it and also still fun. Like, it's not school.
Like, yeah, it's not like Shakespeare or anything like that. Like,
that's made me so much more open to it.
Yeah, no shade to Shakespeare, though. We love iambic pentameter.
Do we? But, no, I don't.
But I do find, like, form really interesting now. And I feel like before I see it, something so limiting, it's like, why won't you let my mind be free? But now it's, like, it's another way to let it be free, you know?
But that's, like, yeah, like, having parameters and, like, constrictions on your work so that you can actively break them. I feel like that's been, like, the most, like, reoccurring lesson throughout the collective. With Cecilio especially, who's the tutor and an incredible poet.
Bless her.
Love of my life, potentially.
She's so lovely.
Has been like, yes, I'm teaching all of this stuff to you so that you can break out from it. And that's been such a, like, change in perspective as well.
Yeah.
So during your guys' time at during the collective and even now, because I know you guys are still in it, mm-hmm. is just simply, what was your style when you entered the collective and where is it now?
Good question.
I think my style when I entered was rambly. I had 17 different ways to say one thing. And I feel like now we're not quite there yet, but I'm getting closer to like actually being like concise.
That's
and, like,
me in corporate world. Shout out corporate.
But like you were saying about like getting really comfortable with like critiquing your work and other people's mm-hmm. is like, I feel like my biggest development has been learning to like kill my darlings.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. In terms of when I came into the collective, I feel like I had a very very much like ideas everywhere, but like, it doesn't really follow a sense of logic. I didn't really have much of... Do you know what? Let me not downplay myself. I had logic to my poems. I had logic to my poems, but it just wasn't as developed as it is now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like...
Also, like, I have logic in my head. That doesn't mean it makes sense to anyone else.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like being able to, like, have that, like, audience artist transparency. Mm-hmm. Like, also, not over-editing myself. Like, I feel like before, maybe I used to, like, maybe over-explain myself and be like, the elephant is in the room. He is in the But I feel like now it's like, okay, something's in the room. Uh-huh. What is it? You know?
That's so true.
It's like being able to leave like ambiguity there for like mm-hmm. people to like understand. I feel like that's something that I've really learned from the collective and is a difference in my work.
Mm-hmm. So does the collective like collaborate with each other or how does it, like have you guys collaborated with each other?
Kind of.
Yeah,
I've performed at their screening for one of mm-hmm. their films, and I feel like that was like a collaboration. In a
yeah,
sense.
100%. Even like because of the collective, like I asked Wara to like I run like a scratch night event called Choked Up, and I asked Wara to come perform at the first one. But even just on that, like because you're an artist that I know and have a lot of respect for, we had a little conversation about like. What's the vibe and like what like you were asking me like what can I bring to like add to like the atmosphere that you want to set up and I feel like that kind of thing is like so special but you don't often get in like gigs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very much like I understand that this is a space that you're curating and it comes from ideas, it comes from experience, and it's like I have my own practices, so what am I gonna bring when I go into mm-hmm. this? But yeah, I think the collaborating with people in the collective is something I'm really excited to do. I feel like mm-hmm. at first, like, for the first, like, couple months of the collective, I was mostly just, like, in my head and being like, okay, this is what I need to do the poetry, da-da-da. Like, in the past, like, 2 months, I'd say, I've been so much more, like, thinking about other people's practices and, like, how they write what they write. And, like, I feel like I'm a lot more ready to collaborate with, like, other artists in the mm-hmm. collective now. Like, I'm excited to do that.
Yeah. Mm. Especially when you have, like, an imminent ending. Mm. I'm like, no, wait, no. I've, like, realized exactly how much, like, I value all of you. And I'm like, no, can we hang out?
It's like, I'm grieving again.
Yeah, not again.
Do you know what I mean?
So, like, when does the poetry collective end for you?
So we have our final sharing next Tuesday on the 18th here at the Roundhouse in the Studio Theatre. Mm. But I think we finish properly 13th of July.
Yeah. I never really check the calendar like that because I just try to keep it spontaneous. Mm-hmm. But I think it's coming up soon and I'm very sad for it to end.
Me too.
Very, very sad.
It seems like you guys had an amazing year, but outside of Roundhouse, what is like upcoming projects that you guys are working on?
So I just recently finished a dance film about shock horror, queerness and grief, which is which is available to view on my Instagram at Daze Hungarani. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually from the collective, I'm running my first poetry workshop next week, Thursday 20th at Riverside Studios. Mm-hmm. It's called Everything's a Poem If You Like It. But yeah,
that's beautiful.
You're beautiful.
Thank you. I love people being able to share the knowledge that they've like learned from a collective, and also just curate like really beautiful spaces around them. I think I'm doing like a similar thing in terms of like there's this collective that I help facilitate, and it's called Tribe. And on the 20th, we have like a queer chess night like jam going on, and it's in Common Press. So Common Press is like, it's like a queer bookshop in like Shoreditch. So yeah, come through if you want to learn how to play chess, or if you want to jam, or if you want to meet new people who like are just there to like intellectually stimulate themselves.
I'll be there.
Yeah, you need to be front and center.
You can't play chess, but that's, I'll be there.
You can teach.
Yeah, and Rura, with your music collective, like how can people join the music collective that with Tribe?
I mean, you can check out the Instagram, it's Tribe_Incorporated. And we basically just try and like, I don't know, it's hard to describe, try and integrate different communities into a space for the love of music, but also centering like Black POC and queer folks in the room to understand that like, yeah, your perspective is very much important. And like, because I find that a lot of the time in London, it's like either you have a queer space or you have like a Black space or things like that. And it's like being able to have like people from different walks of life be in the same room, but not in like a we are the world way, but in a way of like, guys, like, you know, we we're just like coexisting and we love the art, but we also acknowledge there are different, you know, levels of discrimination.
You know, you just made me think of Michael Jackson and when like all the artists like came together and was like doing that big song.
No. And there's that one guy belting like, oh, look, calm down.
I know that's not what you meant, but then my mind went directly there. So
yeah, that's basically the idea. Like, Michael Jackson.
Yep. So it seems like you guys are really like collaborative and really are looking forward to future collaborations and just really growing in your field. And my question is that, what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out, that's just figuring out if they are a poet, or if they are a choreographer, if they are a presenter, like whatever, like what advice would you give them to kind of do it?
Not to sort of be like manifest, but like don't shut up about it. Like, I think that's the main thing. Like, it's so easy, especially with something like poetry, to be like, oh, that's a bit cringy. It's like, yeah, it is. And that's great. Like, that's its, like, that's its best quality.
Because it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
Vulnerable, cringy, what's the difference?
Yeah. So, like, just start saying that you are one, and then and then you'll eventually work out, like, how to be one.
Very much so. I feel like being able to hold yourself accountable by saying it out loud, you know what I mean? It's like, this is the reality. Like, I have to act accordingly. But I feel like for me, it's be collaborative with people at the same level as you. Like, don't try, like, I don't know. Don't try, like, I don't know. I used to DM, like, the hugest poets, be like, oh my God, I love your work. Like, oh my God, poetry. But now it's like, there's so many poets around you in your daily life. There's so many artists around you that you should, like, be interested in. You should build each other up. Like, I feel like collectives are a great way to grow your field, grow your art, because you're accountable to each other's art and accountable to each other's progress. So I think that just try collaborate with like friends, even if your friend doesn't really write poetry, if your friend doesn't really sing, like just like have a makeshift jam, like anything.
If you like invest in the people around you, they'll probably invest back.
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay, well, before I sign you guys off, I want to do one last one-line poem. But this, well, actually, no, not one line. I actually want you guys to make a poem on the spot together. And I want you guys to combine, you know, grief, healing, marginalized, intersectionality. I really want you guys to go there.
Okay.
And we can celebrate afterwards or cry. Whatever it leads us to.
Okay, is there a prompt?
The prompt is, I don't know where to go from here.
Okay.
You want to go line by line?
Yeah, let's go line by line. Okay. I don't know where to go from here. I wade through the waters. It looks like fear.
Oh, you went for a rhyme.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You're incredible.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, that's not in the poem. I was standing at the lakeside, and I saw you stood right next to me.
Through the reflection of the water, I ask for healing.
Some people think that staring at your own reflection is narcissistic, but how else am I supposed to see you?
How else am I supposed to feel?
When I'm feeling so blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys want to keep going?
Who am I going to choose? Anyway,
who can beatbox here?
We got Daze on the mic. Hey, hey.
Daze is immediately coming off the mic.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining me and joining TR and sharing your work. It's been great to have this real conversation with you guys, and I hope you guys enjoyed. And
thanks so much.
Thanks.
If you want to learn more about the Roundhouse Poetry Collective, you can visit roundhouse.org.uk. Kiari Page is a podcast producer and Transmission Roundhouse alumni. The Last Word FM is powered by Transmission Roundhouse and part of the Last Word Festival program at the Roundhouse.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.